chapter 13 in your Bibles this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Now verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now verse 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. 2.6 billion times every day a phone rings in America. Most of these calls are just pretty ordinary. Hey, what are you doing? How are the kids? Just ordinary stuff. Some of the calls are wonderful. When that voice on the other end says, hi, Papa. Man, it's a great way to start your day. Some calls are nervous. The 911 operator listens. My wife is having a baby. Her contractions have started. Her water has broke. And the 911 operator says, is this her first baby? And the fellow says, no, this is her husband. But some calls are life-changing. When you get that call, your life will never be the same. And the person who is calling you, their life will never be the same. Several years ago, I received a call from Mark Cannon. He said, Pastor, could you come over? I've lost my keys. When I arrived, we took care of the key situation. And then he said this, Pastor, I can't remember my phone number. I can't remember my military ID number. Mark was melancholy. He said, something's wrong, Pastor. Many doctor appointments would follow, CAT scans and MRIs, brain surgery, and then chemotherapy, and then gamma knife radiation, then hospice. And then the call came one rainy morning from his wife, could you come, Pastor, right now? He'll not last long. And then the funeral. Saying goodbye to someone you loved and respected. And it all started with a phone call. Now, when that phone call comes, how do you handle it? We're all going to deal with it at some time in our life. When life is reduced to its basic elements, life and death and faith and family and friends. The text is like a phone call to those disciples. For 3.5 years, life has been very, very good to them. But on this last evening, they received news that was devastating. The fact that Jesus is going to die, and soon, the next day. He would not be the king of Israel. The relationship was over on this earth. But not only that, he says, one of you will sell me out. And Judas leaves to do just that. None of the disciples thought Judas was that way, but it's not over. One of you will deny even knowing me. And Peter appears to be the strongest of the 11 now, but it is him. But the phone call is not over yet. He says, all of you will forsake me. Their life is changed forever. So what does Jesus say to these who he loves so much? And what does he say to us this morning? What's the answer when a dear friend calls and says, the doctor just told me I'm going to die soon? What do you say? You need something more than platitudes and cliches and trite sayings. Jesus will give them three realities. First of all, the reality of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's not talking primarily about salvation here. These guys are already saved. He is saying, you trust God to do the right thing. Trust me. You can't trust God in the difficulties of life until first you trust Him in salvation. You've got to be in the family, and there's only one way to do that. You must trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Believing in God is not that difficult nor defining. Believing in Jesus Christ is more difficult and more defining. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's not 57 ways to heaven. There's only one. According to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Lazarus died in John 11, go back there please, a couple of pages. John chapter 11. Look at verses 25 and verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let me ask you this morning, do you believe that? That's the most important question you will ever answer in your life. What would you ever hope to accomplish that would amount to anything if you died and spent an eternity separated from God in an awful place called hell? How much money could you make that would be worth missing heaven? How much power could you get that would be worth an eternity without God? How much pleasure would be worth missing heaven? Jesus asked the question, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul. You've got to answer those questions. So I plead with you this morning. A great relationship with the difficulties of life begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then when the difficulties come, you will have found him faithful and precious to your heart, and his hand upon you will cause such peace and comfort to flood your soul. Second of all, he talked about the reality of heaven. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, first of all, trust me. And then he said, I'm going to be gone, but I'm on a mission. And my mission is building my Father's house. He doesn't mention here a street of gold or gates of pearl or how big it is. Nothing about the river of life or the tree of life and all the stuff that we preach about when we preach on heaven. He just said, it's my Father's house. If you ask my granddaughter, what are you going to be doing for Thanksgiving this year? She will say, I'm going to mom and dad's house. And you say, good. Because there's something special about going to your father's house. King David understood that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You might be separated from your dad, but you know where he is. He's in the Father's house. So how does the transition take place? A little boy named Kenny got leukemia, and it progressed very quickly. One day he asked the question that his mother most feared hearing. As he said softly to his mother, Mama, what's it like to die? She prayed that God would give her strength and wisdom to answer the question from that little boy that she loved so much. She said this, Kenny, do you remember when you were just a little guy and you would sometimes fall asleep on the couch or in the car? And when you woke up in the morning, you were in your own bed. Do you know how that happened, Kenny? Your father came and picked you up and carried you gently to your own bed. That's what it is like to die. You fall asleep in one place and you wake up in another place. In a couple of weeks, he fell asleep and his Heavenly Father picked him up and carried him home. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. And then last of all, the reality of Jesus' return. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the promise of the return of Jesus Christ. The thought is always there, but seldom verbalized. When you stand at the grave of someone you love, you say to yourself, Lord, don't forget this one. When the trumpet sounds, don't forget my daddy. Thank God for the three realities. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. The fact that it is absolute truth. It is inspired. It is inerrant. It is preserved for us today that we can read this book and know that it is absolute truth. And we thank you and we praise you for your wonderful word. Dear Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving our soul. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, today would be such a good day for them to step out and come forward, kneel around this old-fashioned altar so that we might show them how to be saved. Dear Father, I just ask that those of us who have been born again, that we would always have a heart of thankfulness to you. And dear Father, that when the invitation is given, that you might speak to hearts this morning. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies.